you're doing a great job, and I know you are. I'm not denying that one bit. But the property that you manage for turkeys, you know, obviously by doing that, you're encouraging your neighbor's turkeys to come off their property onto this property. But the person next to this piece of property that you're managing probably is not doing squat for turkeys. His land probably looks like hair on a dog back. So, you know, you're gathering turkeys from several acres on the piece of property that you're managing. But think about the poor guy next door that's not been able to, have any turkeys. He's like, man.
But is that going to, so how does that affect the turkey population?
It allows that one man that's managing that piece of property to shoot five turkeys on his land. Okay.
Yeah, see, I don't see it that way necessarily.
I don't either.
If you were to have a guy that does a really good job of managing, and, you know, I think that you're producing turkeys to hunt on that property, and your impacts on the neighbors are probably exactly the opposite, Rob. I think that neighbor who doesn't do anything probably has more turkeys on his place due to the fact that the good manager is doing a good job on his place. Because if you took
Agreed.
A good property and turned it into a piece of crap like the neighbor's, nobody would have turkeys.
I agree.
Neither side would have turkeys.
I agree. But your neighbor over here's probably got, he probably just got through cutting his timber so heavily that it's so thick that the turkeys can't survive over there. And until it greens up, the turkey's off his place, they're on your place you're managing.
But if the guy that is managed and doing a good job of management, if he didn't manage his place well, that guy who just screwed up his property wouldn't have any turkeys at all.
Mm-mm.
You know, so the property that's doing a good job of management, I think, is benefiting the neighbors way more than the other way around.
I agree.
You know, I don't worry too much about drawing deer or turkeys off the neighbors so much. I mean, I'm big on the philosophy, you know, let your neighbors do what the neighbors want to do. If they want to do a good job of management, do a good job of management. If they don't, you know, let them shoot what they want to shoot. If they shoot some of your bucks or some of your turkeys, c'est la vie. But, you know, all you can do is control the land you've got to control and do the best job you can of it.
That's exactly right.
So,
I just think
Rob, do you still believe we need to cut the turkey?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes, I do.
I'm not going to convince Rob.
No, you're not. It took a long time to convince me.
Yeah.
But I got to thinking about it. You know, it was really bothering me at night.
At the end of the day, Ted, what's really happening and the problem that we're having is that the people, the landowners today, I mean, let's just say, I would say out of the state, the people that manage their property properly, I would say it's 15%. The other 85%, they have property, they own it, they're not taking care of it, you know, for whatever reason.
Yeah, you're probably not too far off on that.
You know, and
that's probably a good guess.
So limited than turkeys is going to make them do a better job. What?
For the future.
For what future? I mean,
for the future and the turkeys. Do you think it's going to, okay, you two guys, with a limit in your prediction, in 5 years from now, 20, whatever year that'll be, would the limit still be five? You think it's going to stay five gobblers for the next 5 years or 10 years? I mean, how long do you
think
we can sustain five gobblers?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to stay five because of a whole bunch of people who think that changing the limit from five to three is going to make a difference. That somebody's going to succumb to political pressure, and they're going to force the limit to be dropped, even though it's not going to make a difference. Again, you know, the question is, what about Florida, whose limit is two? What about Georgia and every single surrounding state that's having turkey declines that has a lower limit than us? Why aren't their populations higher than ours? You know, I mentioned this the other day when I was on the radio with Steve. You know, Alabama ought to be proud of where we're at with our turkey populations. We ought to be, all the other surrounding states ought to be coming to our turkey committee and going, how are you guys doing what you're doing? You got one of the highest densities of turkeys in the country. You have one of the highest limits and longest seasons in the country. You have a really involved hunter base that loves turkeys,
loves turkey hunting,
loves turkey management. And, you know, you guys have got it going on. The other states ought to be asking us, you know, how can we mimic what you're doing? Not the other way around. We shouldn't be looking at these other states who have lower limits and still declining populations and try and follow their lead. You know, we ought to do it the other way around.
Ted, where do we get these numbers from that show us that we rank so high?
You know, the population stuff is just a guess, I think, from, you know, a lot of biologists that you know, out in the field and game wardens and, you know, they got some of the pulp surveys and things like that. But they're, you know, those numbers are just countywide. You know, what do you think the numbers are in this county? What do you think the numbers are in that county? And I think, you know, there's not a good census I don't think in any state, really. So people are taking a ballpark guess at what their turkey numbers are. Obviously, the kills can be, you know, you can have a survey, which, you know, the Alabama does that survey every year, and that's a statistically valid survey. So we got a pretty good idea of what's being killed. And, you know, even from that standpoint, we're killing on a per square mile basis as many or more than anybody else in the country, and we've still got plenty of turkeys.
Hmm.
Rob, what do you disagree with that? I mean,
I disagree with
the turkey with numbers.
The turkey numbers saying that we've got plenty and ample turkeys, and our flock is in good health. It is in good health, yes, it is, but we don't have the turkeys like we used to have.
We don't have the turkeys we used to have. I'll agree with that 100%. Here's the other thing from a biological standpoint to think about, and this is applying to every other state, and you talk to any other biologist, and they'll tell you exactly the same thing. We went through a restocking back in the 60s and 70s and all the way through the 40s, 50s, but, I mean, you know, pretty intense in the 50s, 60s, and even the 70s. And when you look at restocking critters on unoccupied quality habitat, which we had, the population tends to skyrocket. And you see this with quail and deer or anything else you put out there on unoccupied ground. The population spikes after a number of years, maybe a decade. But once that population gets a lot of steam underneath it, it spikes. And it overruns where it's supposed to be, which is where we were. This is the day you remember, Rob, and I do too, back in the 80s when you'd go mess up a turkey and you'd go find another one and go mess it up and find another one and mess it up. You'd hear 6, 8, 10 gobblers in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd chase them everywhere. You saw them in all the open fields. There'd be turkeys standing around the fields everywhere. The population was inordinately high, higher than it should have been. And now we've come down to a level that is being driven. The other factor involved that y'all haven't talked about is weather. You know, now we're being driven on a standard, you know, populations of ups and downs on an annual basis of where the population actually should be. And I think every other state's, you know, falling in the same thing. Where if we get, I bet you this, if we stack together three dry March, April time frames, and then a nice, you know, fairly reasonable, moist May and June where the turkey poults got places to bug. You stack together good reproductive weather for three seasons in a row, nobody's going to be talking about producing a limit to five because we'll have plenty of turkeys. That is probably, out of anything, the main driving factor of whether we got turkeys or not is what is the weather like in April, May, and June.
And due to the runoff and such as that when they're nesting?
Sure. Yeah, too much rain when they're on the eggs, too much rain when the poults just hatch out, and having not enough rain during the early part of the summer when the poults need that bugging ground and stuff like that, fresh growing vegetation and insects. And we have not had good reproductive springs in the last few years.
No, we really hadn't. We really hadn't. But you take a man that clear cuts his property, what is the number one thing that absorbs rain? Trees.
Sure.
Roots.
Yeah,
if you don't have trees growing to absorb all this additional rainfall, you know, you got a lot more flooding issues. You have a lot more nests being wiped out and so forth.
Yeah.
What you think of there, Stevie? I see you thinking.
Well, you know, I mean, you keep coming back to clear cuts, and people are going to clear cut the properties, and I think they should clear cut
people
the properties.
People are too money hungry.
I'm not necessarily Rob, why do they grow trees? Why do they grow trees, Rob?
But people are just clear-cutting property and not managing their property. Well, just because they've inherited this piece of property and they won't do
it. I think there's less and less of that. I think people are becoming more educated. Don't you, Ted?
Our little group may be, our little circle. But outside our little circle, the other 85%,
Yeah.
They ain't got to clear.
I don't think there's less clear-cutting. But I think it all plays into on the landscape as a whole. I don't think it's changing that much. You know, I think we've got as good a habitat as we had, you know, 15, 20 years ago. And, you know my feeling about pine trees, I'd just soon manage a pine forest than I would a hardwood forest.
That's right.
Manage the pine beetles.
Well, you know, the big difference is the way I talk about managing a pine forest is not your standard, you know, timber guy. I'm not talking about, you know, loblolly pines that are 800 trees per acre, you know, at you know, first thin and 500 trees per acre after the second thin. I'm talking about managing a pine forest with fire and some herbicides and keeping it open enough to grow grasses on the ground. I mean, so, you know, my philosophy of managing pine forest is a little different than your average forestry guys. but I just soon have, you know, a piece of property that's 70% pine and 30% hardwood than I would have a piece of property that's 30% pine and 70% hardwood.
Hmm.
I can do a lot more with
that's
it.
That's right. You should
So, Rob.
Yes.
Are you still ready to decrease the limit on gobblers? You think it's going to make a difference?
Do I think it's going to make a difference? Not that I just think five is plenty. I think three is plenty. I think it's going to eliminate.
But that's the whole point of it. That's the whole point of knocking back the limit is to increase the population according to everybody.
Yeah, and making rules based on your philosophy of, you know, how many somebody else should be able to kill is a pretty crappy way of deciding to make rules.
That's right. That's right.
The rules ought to be, and this is where I agreed with Charles Kelly and Corky Pugh and those guys way back when, was you make the rules on the game fish populations, the hunting regs, based on maximize somebody's opportunity to take what they want to take, and therefore they will manage their property to the best of their ability. So give them plenty of opportunity. We have a liberal season. We have a liberal limits. And we have, you know, like I say, some of the most passionate turkey hunters and turkey managers in the country. Go to Nebraska and ask those guys what they think of their turkeys. They're a pest over there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just soon kill them all.
Oh,
those are the farmers. You know, they'll put out depredation permits on turkeys because they don't value turkeys like the state of Alabama turkey hunters do. You know, we value our turkeys big time. That's
why the
debate is so passionate about people are pissed off. You know, look at Rob. I don't care if I kill five again. That's not the point at all. I don't care because I need to kill my five a year. I care because I want to have maximizing people's opportunities to kill turkeys, and give them the incentive to continue to manage their property. You know,
that's correct. You're dead on, Ted. I know y'all do a fine job too. Now, I'd really do, and I know Steve, you feel the same. That y'all do a great job and want you to continue doing that because we want more turkeys. Yeah.
Hey, Ted, we appreciate you calling, and I think he might be leaning our way now.
Right,
no, he's shaking his head no, Ted. He's shaking his head no. Ted DeVos, man, what a great job he does. If you do have a piece of property, folks, that you need some help, you want some advice, give those guys a call.
Your brother Ted a call.
Hey,
yes, sir.
Hey, let's take a break real quick, Killer, and we're going to extend the show 5 minutes, and we'll – 15
Are
minutes.
We?
Yeah, we're going to extend it 15
Are we going to get paid for the extra 15 minutes? Because time is money, honey.
I think we might, Rob. We might be able to hold it. Here's a cup of coffee right here, Rob.
Thank you, 15 Center.
Yeah, so if y'all want to. You want to go straight to the call? No, we're going to the break. All right,
get
we'll
up
be
on
right
this
back.
One time. Get up one time.
Today's been a cluster, and I'm not going to finish that up.
I think it's that starched shirt you got on.
I got to look good in front of the commissioner and the director.
I know you do.
Cast Blast Outdoors right here on Sports Radio 740.
Fishing, gardening, or just a hot cup of coffee. These are among life's simple pleasures. With a life insurance plan from Alpha, you can relax and enjoy the good things in life, knowing your family is protected. For a customized plan built just for you by a friendly hometown agent, call Alpha in Montgomery Pike Road. Call Agent Scott Strickland at 288-0375 or stop by the office at 2108 East South Boulevard.
At Bach and DeVos Forestry and Wildlife Services, they provide assistance for a wide variety of land management activities. Timber sales, tree planting, herbicides, mapping, wildlife management, and their certified prescribed burn managers. Bach and DeVos is one of the first companies to use woodland mulching technology in Alabama. They've handled clearing projects from 10 to 1,200 acres and now operate high horsepower mulchers for your clearing needs. Call Bach and DeVos today at 269-2224 or find them on Facebook.
Hunting season has arrived in Alabama, and there's only one place to go for all your outdoor needs. Walter Craig, the Sportsman's Headquarters. Small or large, they have everything you need to bag your game of choice. Guns? No problem. Over 3,000 in stock. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, and even the most sophisticated ARs. If you're looking for hunting supplies, don't go where they specialize in selling tennis shoes. Go to Walter Craig, 1201 Northeastern Bypass, or call 396-5297. Walter Craig, your